This is The Naturalist. In every episode, we're covering the products, ideas, and trends that are shaping the CPG industry.
Or that we just really like.
Expo West!
It's upon it this week.
This week. I was talking to Scott earlier and remember that he mentioned back when we did our podcast together at Expo East that this was only going to be his second Expo West ever.
No, I think you've told me this so many times, Scott, I can never, ever believe it. Like, I remember last West was your first one, or was there like a West of years past?
Last West was actually my first Expo West. I have been to 5 Expo Easts, but something always came up where I missed out on West, even to the point my first one was supposed to be 2020. I was a day away from hopping on the plane before COVID hit. And then 2 years ago, it coincided with my son being born. And so there was always something that kind of came in the way.
I can't believe you missed it for the birth of a son.
I know. You know, it was my first one. Maybe if it was the third or fourth, I'd be in Anaheim.
So what were your impressions? Obviously, you're no stranger to the industry, of course. You're Scott Dicker of Spin's fame, but... what were your, like, when you popped your West cherry, what were your initial thoughts? Did anything, were you like, okay, this surprises me about West?
You know, I guess I was surprised just by the scale of the event. It's almost like you have to be there place. It's more of an event than the other shows, where it's like the events within the event are just so grand, I want to say. And then the scale of the booths and the shows, it really dwarfs pretty much everything else that's out there.
Yeah.
And you get to see just the energy at this show is different. And so, as you mentioned, I'm no stranger to trade shows. I'm no stranger to the industry. And I do want to note, I believe I am the first person to make a second appearance on The Naturalist, which is immediately going to go on my accomplishments for my career.
You definitely are. You're a Hall of Famer.
This is a big deal. You know, anyone could do things once, but when you're asked back, it's really a big deal.
And behave yourself. You might be invited back for a third time.
One can dream, Jessica.
Never know.
One can dream. But to answer your question, Expo West, it's just like, it really is the Super Bowl of the industry. And so, you know, being there, it just feels different. I love that the brands intentionally launch products here. So this is like really where to go to see the newest products first, and not see them in the sense of like someone posted on their social media about it, but you actually get to touch it, pick it up, taste it for the first time at Expo West. And there's always so many brands that this is not only they're launching new products, but they're launching their brand. And this is like their first entrance into the market. You know, they gather together their pennies and dollars, get that first booth. And it's just really exciting because you feel their passion for everything. And it's just a different energy. So I'm very excited to be back. It's a very tiring experience. My calendar, somehow I feel like is twice as packed as it was last year, which I'm not sure how that's possible. But it's going to be a great week.
People have caught on to the fact that you're coming now to West. They're like, oh, he's going to be here. But yeah, I mean, we do everything you said. Could not agree more. It'll be my 15th Expo.
15th?
Yeah, 15th, 14th,
or 15th. That's crazy.
Or were you going there in junior high, Jessica?
Yes. But we do have a lot of first-time exhibitors, which is exciting. And today we're going to talk about trends because, as you were describing the experience, Scott, everything is so true. I mean, there's so many companies, there's so much going on. And so I think one of the things that can be really helpful for attendees of the event is to have sort of the inside scoop on what's going to be launching there, some of the trends that we're looking at. And there's lots of different ways that people can get that, but I'm excited to share some of those today. And of course, Beacon, our Beacon tool that we work with you all and How Good On, is such an amazing way to help navigate the show floor, find all of those first to market companies. You can sort based on product attribute or category. And you can also look at what's new for the show and what's new to Beacon. So I even have been using that as we head into Anaheim as a great way to kind of map out the companies and products that I want to see. So definitely want to give a big shout out to Beacon and our Beacon team for creating some really nice wayfinding tools for the show.
One more shout out for Beacon. This is a great way for any brands listening to get discovered by retailers. It helps them, you know, with their show floor plan. So if you are not submitting your product images to Beacon, you are missing out on some opportunities. So a quick shout out there. And then retailers, use this to identify some of the trends that we'll talk about now. You know, it's a great tool.
Yeah. And I can't let a second go by without saying another of the really great ways to get firsthand look at new products is, of course, the Nexty Awards. So, Scott, you were a judge again this year. This year, we have the incredible Nexty Awards ceremony in person on Thursday night at 6 p.m. Scott, are you going to be wearing your prom baby blue tux?
You know, I was going to go with the other Dumb and Dumber color, the bright orange, but we'll see. Of course, I have them both in my closet, so it'll be a game time decision. But just you know, real talk, the Nexties are always so exciting. I love that big and small brands are always participating.
Yes.
You see them everywhere. I was watching Shark Tank the other day when Phila Manila was on there, and he had his Nexties in the background of his pitch.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal for the awards. I take my judging very seriously, as you know.
You do.
And there's, again, just another slew of great products that were submitted, finalists, and then, of course, the winners.
Yeah, 154 finalists this year. So excited to share the stage with you for that event. And I hope lots of people, I know a lot of retailers are planning on coming to continue that product discovery experience.
So everyone save the date. What is the time, date, location, Adrian?
It is March 14th. So that's Thursday night from 6 to 7:30 p.m. in the Grand Ballroom at the Marriott. Everybody's invited.
Be
and more. Is there a special award for the best prom dress and tux, or is that next year's Nexty?
Maybe. They'll just have to come and find out. Well, you will be there because you're presenting. But yes. Yes, there is. You heard it here first.
Well, now, what's in that cup, Adrian? Is it any Nexty winners in that mug of yours?
Well, I'm drinking Numi tea. It's a Nexty finalist, the Damiana tea. It's got butterfly pea in it, so it's a bright purple-blue color. It's delicious.
Actually, that's a perfect... I didn't think it was going to be a perfect segue into one of the things... But we did see, it seemed like there were a ton of teas in the Nexty Awards. And I'm just
so many teas.
Scott, what are you seeing, Adrian? Like, we can't call tea a trend, but we certainly are seeing all different types of beverages enter the market and some really unique styles of tea, types of tea formats. So I thought that was interesting. And I'm kind of curious what we think is driving that I guess we can call it a trend towards more kind of innovative tea formats and types.
Well, I think that you certainly can call it a trend. You know, what was once old is new again, I believe is the phrase. And so there is lots of innovation opportunities across the store. And we could talk about this as kind of a larger trend, but really we know that functional products are big. We know that they've been growing every year. And one of the things that people often overlook is products that are inherently functional. And so they've been around for a while. You know, I always go back when coffee became the canned ready to drink coffees were becoming big. It's like, that's the original energy drink right there. And so it's able to capitalize on other trends. And tea has not had the similar surge yet, but there's opportunity for it. And you see it both in the ready to drinks. You know, a lot, yerba mate seems to be a really trending ingredient right now. And also the tea bag. So as people are, you know, interested in things like mood support, sleep support, stress relief, digestive health, there have been functional teas out there forever. So as the interest grows in those health focuses that we're seeing in both supplements, functional beverages, you know, the teas have already been out there. So there's an opportunity for these teas that have been used for years for things like digestive health or mood support to really play up these inherent benefits of them. And I think that part of the consumer mindset shift is going to benefit the tea category.
Well, and what I think we're really seeing too, and I 100% agree with you, Scott, is in within those functional, you know, inherently functional teas. I mean, we have the botanicals that have been used for generations. We're seeing really, really careful formulations. So it's not just, you know, this is an herb that's always been used for digestion, but we're putting it in clinical formulas, in clinical dosages, in careful formulations. Companies are disclosing how, you know, how much, what's in those formulations. And then the sustainability factor is just huge. We saw some fantastic products in the Nexties with wild harvested botanicals. The companies were really digging into that storytelling. Where is the product from? How is it harvested? What are its benefits? And then how much of those benefits are in this product? So really, really meticulous products.
So I think we'll see more. I think we'll just see more tea products entering the market. Certainly tons at Expo. And I agree that those kind of baseline sustainability claims and attributes are going to be really important as key points of differentiation. And then also just, of course, as we saw across the board, Nexties, products that taste really good and, you know, have like a really beautiful sensory experience. So it's fun to see some innovation happening in an older category. And Scott, I think the inherently functional is a great kind of overarching trend. And you had said back to basics. And one of the things that our team was talking about the other day is this shift towards a back to basics approach to formulations, which really is what the natural products industry was built on to begin with. And so we've been calling it back to basics because we started to see a lot of really complex and complicated formulations, especially in the meat and dairy analog space. But now we're starting to see a true return to real whole foods. So back to basics, maybe something that we could have on our radar.
I love that. It reminds me of deja vu all over again.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah,
sure.
Yogi Berra, of course. And anytime you get to quote Yogi Berra, it's a good day. I was just going to say, I love that. And Jessica, to your point on like the meat analogs, you're seeing both a rise in those plant forward versions, but also, you know, some of the bigger players are coming out with, you know, shorter ingredient labels. They've been making a lot of headlines recently.
Yes.
And so it's interesting to see kind of the progression of some of these categories where what was considered innovative and very like natural product sustainability just a few years ago, we're already seeing that change to the next level of kind of what I call more mature innovation, where, you know, the category has been created and now it's innovating on the attributes and things like that. So that's one of the things that I'm actually looking forward to for the show is how does plant-based look this year?
How does it taste?
Yeah.
How does it taste? How much of the different products can I try in one day and still maintain a stomach?
I've seen you judge the Nexties.
Now I believe it's only your second Expo with a comment, Expo West with a comment like that. You know better.
That's the Expo Valley is real. I've learned a lot through the years. It's always very interesting to see, like, is it going to look like it looked 3 or 4 years ago? Or are we going to be seeing a change in it? And I always go back to the example, my first Expo East, actually, because as we've really beat down, I've only been to one West. But my first Expo East, there was an entire hemp pavilion. There were probably 100 brands making CBD products. And the last couple expos, there's a handful of them. So you see how categories kind of, you know, evolve over there. People are still interested in hemp. We're not, you know, saying that they're not. We saw that with plant-based too. Like everyone was making their plant-based. And it's almost like what's left? Who capitalized on it? What's the next innovation that's going to capture consumers' minds there?
So maybe that's a good place for us to start talking about non-alcoholic beverages, because there's just such an explosion of that category. We'll have the Mindful Beverage Pavilion at Expo West, which we're super excited about. And I mean, there's just tons of launches there. And I'm curious what you both are thinking is going to happen in that space and what some of the ingredients or formats are that you're excited about in NA beverages.
I'm really loving the botanical formulations. As some of the Nexty judges pointed out, when we judged that category, which is the first time we had it this year, you know, when they're looking for a non-alcoholic beverage or an alternative, they want something that still has some of those properties that might kind of be calming or relaxation or energizing or whatever people, you know, might have more traditionally looked for in alcohol. So I really love those botanical formulations. We've seen some really great things with like smoky agave and, you know, that kind of experiential, sensational. I think it's transformed a little bit the non-alcoholic beverage space, where maybe it started out where it was just very sugary, sweet, oversweetened, kind of less complex formulations maybe. And now we're seeing some really deep botanical things being uncovered. And I just think it's fascinating, all the discovery that's there.
Yeah, a lot of really great herb forward ingredients,
yeah,
and flavors and packaging. I think we're seeing so much packaging innovation.
So pretty.
Beautiful, right? And to me, that also speaks to the adult non-alcoholic beverage space is meant to create an entire experience. It's not
absolutely
just about a healthier beverage. It's certainly about a healthier alternative. And it's meant to create experiences that alcohol historically has created. And I think a lot of that comes from the bottle and the label and things that I probably, in a very uninformed way, made purchasing decisions based off. Yeah, so I like that wine's label. Got
haven't
it.
We all?
How else are you supposed to choose wine, Jessica?
Right. But yeah, so I think the whole category is cool from a branding standpoint also.
Yeah, it's a really interesting category because it's growing to a point where it's not just a very niche category. And I agree with everything both of you are saying. People still want to feel special when they're drinking it. Otherwise, they'll just drink, you know, a soda or something else when they're for the alternative.
Water.
Or water, yeah, whatever it is. But I always go back to, you know, there's been a lot of talk about like lifespan and health span, but there's also the day span. So there's products that are like fit for certain times of the day. That time frame from like after work to before bed is wide open right now, especially if people are swapping out alcohol. And so there's a great opportunity. They're not going to take a lot of these functional beverages if they're like caffeinated or whatnot. So there's a big opportunity for this calm down, wind down the day beverage. And so that comes in a few forms. It comes in like the non-alcoholic versions of said product, like the NA beer, which we're seeing have a ton of success. I believe it's the fastest growing beer brand in the country is non-alcoholic right now. And it also is, to Adrian's point, something that could still give you that special feeling. So I've been very interested in watching around what ingredients are being added to actually make people feel calm or relaxed or de-stress. And you see it in botanicals, you know, that you guys have mentioned. You see it in other, you know, minerals. Magnesium's really doing well right now in that position. And then, you know, there's a whole new list of ingredients that are kind of rebuilding the reputation. And so THC drinks are entering the market to give you the buzz without the booze. And other ingredients like kava and things that actually give you that feeling of relaxation. Whereas some of the other just straight non-alcohol versions of alcoholic drinks, they just give you that taste, they have you feel, and there's certainly a place for it. But then there's that whole other aspect of what can actually replace it and give me that de-stressing that a nightcap usually used to provide for people.
Yeah, agree. And people will not find THC on the show floor. Just want to clarify that.
Public service announcement.
No, I agree, Scott. But as we were talking, I'm also curious about this other, you know, I've been reading more just headlines out there in the world, not New Hope ones, not Spins ones. I don't think, Scott, but I want to get your thoughts. What caffeine? What is happening with caffeine? Is caffeine free the new NA? Is there a shift towards just finding energy in different ways? Hydration is big, and I'm seeing a lot more in hydration and just kind of staying well-nourished and well-fortified without caffeine as I have my second cup of coffee, which I have not done afternoon in a long time. Because, I basically don't drink anymore, I still drink my coffee. So I don't know.
Jessica, have you been reading my presentations that I have not given yet?
You're reading your mind, Scott.
You are on my wavelength because I absolutely agree. We're seeing people pull back on alcohol, especially younger people. And I think that caffeine is next. And so I say that with the full disclaimer, I don't think that alcohol or caffeine are going away. They're here to stay. So before anyone gets upset, and they will do well for the foreseeable future.
When you start getting hate mail.
Yeah. From the caffeine people.
I like how we both just chugged our tea and coffee at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
you're gonna take it away from us?
But there is going to be a demand for energy without the caffeine. You know, sleep's a problem for a lot of people with the screen time and the social media and everything else that's going on. And so caffeine is going to be something that people are interested in. And I do believe that the parallel that you're making to the alcohol is the exact one that I agree with. Whereas there are the alternatives where it's these things are promoted to give me energy. And then there is, but what do I actually, I want that feeling. We all know that caffeine buzz is a nice feeling. And so it's what can replace it. I am very interested. I actually have a few products on my desk. I don't know if we're promoting things right now, but there are alternatives on the market that are interesting to me. Like one of them, paraxanthine, it's like a caffeine metabolite that has a shorter half-life. That is something that I've been keeping a close eye on. It's already being used in like pre-workouts and things of that nature. And then there are a few other ingredients, but definitely look for that energy market beyond caffeine to start to get some muscle to it. We're probably a few years away from anything taking actual market share.
Yeah.
But I totally agree with your point. There is going to be a segment of the shopper base that's going to be looking for an alternative to caffeine.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was thinking, that could fit into a mindful beverage conversation.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's definitely aligned, like you said, with the NA beverage space. So I'm excited to see what happens there. And then you touched on something and you talked about pre-workout. And I do think there's a lot, maybe I want to talk a little bit about the sports nutrition space because definitely seeing a lot there. And I think, Scott, you were just at a sports nutrition event too, right? So you might have some fresh hot takes from there, but you know, what's happening in that space? What do we expect to see as well as weight management and these Ozempic alternatives or products and ingredients that support people who are taking Ozempic? So what are we thinking we're going to see at Expo West around sports nutrition and healthy weight management?
I know you're going to say creatine gummy, Scott.
Wow. Let me say, first off, Jessica, I feel like you're ruining my entire supplements presentation.
I swear I've seen nothing.
People can please still join the State of Supplements info session. But active nutrition, this is a category, you know, I'm obviously very passionate about, and it just so happens it's one of the top growth categories across the store, which is actually very lucky for me because it's the category I probably know the most about. It's where a lot of trends start. If you just think about it, the biggest mega trend of shopper preferences going on is this idea of health span. People are trying to live better, longer. And I use the quote, I think I heard it from someone, so I don't want to take credit for it necessarily, but it's everyone now is trying to die young, just as late as possible. Get it? So what you're looking for in the active nutrition space, it's what is going on across the whole store. So people are looking to stay physically active longer. Mental health is part of that as well. And so, you know, the categories that traditionally do well, and you talked about pre-workouts, things like protein powders, those are still doing well, but the attributes from those categories are being spread across the entire store. And so you can't go in any aisle in the grocery store now without seeing high protein items. We saw that active nutrition brands have really, I guess it's not fair to say taken over yet. They've taken a huge percent of things like energy drinks, hydration beverages, things like that. And so anticipate continuing to see things that have those attributes, even in things outside of traditional, you know, sports nutrition categories.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like jumping outside of like some of these ingredients and attributes, leaping outside of the gym, right?
Exactly.
It's not just about pumping iron and getting this high energy for that. It's about truly optimizing every day. And we're seeing these ingredients and different things jump into beauty categories, into vitality, into all these different spaces. So it is interesting to see some of these ingredients really evolving to speak to a much broader consumer base.
And not only the different categories, but how about finally including women in some of these categories? Active nutrition was always only positioned towards men. And I think a lot of the reason that we're seeing such consistent growth is that it's bringing women in. It's bringing, you know, aging populations, not just, like to your point, it's not just for, you know, the bros in the gym in their 20s. This is for, it's for everyone now. And it's a great thing because if you think about, you know, some of the products and ingredients that are for like preserving muscle. So protein, you know, obviously Adrian knows I'm a big fan of creatine, but there's also things like HMB for preserving muscle. It's great for people as they age. It's not only good for, like, you know, people in serious competition. So I anticipate seeing a lot of these attributes continue to play out across the entire store. I think with the entrance of pharmaceuticals into the weight loss category, and I saw a stat, maybe we could quote in the show notes because I forget which survey I saw, but it was something like 22% of Americans either have taken, are taking, or are planning on taking soon some of these GLP-1 drugs. And that's going to have a massive impact on the entire industry. Nutrient-dense categories are going to start to win as people look to round out their diets. Protein's going to continue to do even better as people don't want to lose muscle, they want to lose fat. And then also, you know, any category that could round out your diets in supplement spaces, like those greens powders that are so popular now, multivitamins, meal replacement shakes. And then throughout the store, expect to see a shift from some of the indulgences that are just indulgence that tastes good to being indulgence that, you know, have some of this aspect of filling a nutrient gap as well.
So let's talk a little bit. I'd love to talk a little bit about those fun discoveries. You know, there's always those quirky things at Expo that kind of delight and excite. And one of the things that we saw a lot during the next season that I've been seeing a lot lately is that back to basics, but with nostalgia. So we've seen a lot of really nostalgic products, or, you know, mac and cheeses or fried chicken or baked beans, or, you know, really fun sweets that are kind of modeled after these really nostalgic treats. Of course, we've seen this before. But one of the things we kept talking about at the Nexies is they just taste so good. They're so well executed. So many things that are, instead of having those sugar alcohols or stevia, they're now using real sugar, but just less of it. I think that those are always those kind of things that really delight you when you're at Expo. You know, they're the fun things, the things that make you laugh. I mean, what other things like that are you looking forward to?
Totally agree with you. And I think the big difference that you pointed out is now even cleaner than ever before. Cleaner ingredient list and better tasting than ever before. And I think it just speaks to overall people want joy from their food. And nothing's really more joyful, in my opinion, than something that feels nostalgic and indulgent. And so I love seeing those things. I can't wait to see on the show floor what some of them are. You know, even at retailers now, I'm seeing whole end caps dedicated to that, to really celebrating nostalgia and, you know, the throwback movie night, but done with all natural ingredients. It's just fun. So I don't know. I'll be eager to see some of those standouts on the show floor. And that I'm also kind of along those lines, Adrian. I'm seeing a ton of really delicious baking mixes.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you look in Beacon, there's so many that are launching at Expo West that are cookie mixes and muffins and bread.
Pretzel.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I like this because while I like to make almost everything from scratch, I'm now realizing that that's not always possible. And so to have these baking options and bringing the whole family in, and I really like that. So I expect to see more of those clean baking options as well.
Should we do a quick fire round of, you know, just hot nuggets, as we like to call them here?
You know, I'm always up for some hot nuggets.
I know you are. Do you want to start?
Okay, hot nugget and no time to prepare. What I'm really excited for on the show floor is a lot of those products that bring people back into categories. So we've seen like a lot of, you know, traditional junk food categories bringing in products, both nostalgic, better for you, cleaner label, that bring people back into the category. What I always think about is, you know, especially from a retailer perspective, these are the brands that are additive to your shelf rather than just replacing a sale from one brand to the next. These are actually bringing people into your aisle. I'm always excited to see what those are. You know, I haven't been to 15 expos, but I have seen a lot of products. And so you think you've seen it all, but every time, you know, we go to shows, I'm always surprised that there's something like, wow, I never thought of that. Those are kind of the things that I'm looking out for.
Love it.
So I always like to see what's new in clean beauty, and we're going to focus a lot on conscious beauty in the second half of the year. That'll be a big focus of our Newtopia Now event, which I'm excited to share more about that post-expo, but always like to see innovation there. And I just keep seeing more and more things happening with innovative delivery formats for things. And that's still about taking water out of the equation, taking plastic out of the equation, of course, taking chemicals out of the equation. So I get really excited about that. And as part of that, also seeing regenerative beauty and companies that are saying, yes, we may not be a food and beverage product, but we're still sourcing agricultural ingredients and getting regenerative organic certification for their products. So regenerative and climate action moving outside of food and beverage and really becoming a focal point for dietary supplements and beauty companies. Also, multicultural products everywhere moving outside of the international foods.
Yes.
And as part of that, so much spice. There is so much chili and spice.
So much.
And I think we're just starting to realize there are so many other flavors to explore. And as part of that, seeing some very, very exciting spicy flavors in Asian and Latin foods. And so I can't wait to see all of that. And I'll stop there. I'll just stop with those.
We can do another round.
Okay.
I think Scott's got some more.
I felt the pressure to get all of my nuts.
You saw the gong? I was getting the gong ready.
We're getting the gong. You're like, wrap up.
All right, well, I'll go quickly. I'm going to say I'm really excited about all of the women's health products that are going to be at the show, particularly in natural living. So many great products like the period underwear. And we had a fantastic women's vulva cream at the Nexi. So just creativity addressing so many different sides of women's health issues or needs or wants. I'm really excited to see where that goes at Expo West. I'm also really excited about upcycling because I've been seeing it going into a lot of different categories. We have seen it in beauty category, again, in that clean beauty, lots of upcycling there, which is exciting to see, not only in food and beverage. So that's exciting. And then, oh my gosh, so many things. Oh, and one other trend that I'm super excited about. This kind of goes along with the lowering waste. So reducing waste, brands are getting super creative about ways to reduce waste, whether it's packaging or ingredient sourcing, upcycling, partnering with each other. But I'm really into those meat companies that are now making these products that are really comprehensive, using heart and liver and different kinds of organ meat along with their kind of regular beef or chicken or whatever to make really a more not only nutrient dense, but less wasteful product. So that's exciting to see.
Well, now I feel a little silly for asking for another round because you guys took the ones that I was going to say. I was going to say, I don't know how we can, you know, do this podcast for Expo without talking about the global flavors and really the uptick from it. Now, I love, Jessica, your point. You know, I totally agree with it. It's like almost like the elimination of the ethnic aisle. We're not pigeonholing brands into like just being under one flag in one aisle. It's across the entire store. And it's also changing kind of what it means to be an authentic brand. Since people are used to now a lot of these spices, sauces, flavors, we're seeing a lot of innovation where, you know, it's a format from one global cuisine with a flavor from a completely different one. You know, we saw some of those bao buns that, you know, had innovative fillings, you know, boba tea protein bars, for example. And so, you know, having that kind of blending of format and flavor, now that people are used to both of them, is something that I think, you know, is still very creative and something that I'm very interested in.
It's like a multicultural mashup.
Exactly. Brands can still be authentic by doing it.
Yeah, for sure. And I just want to add one more thing to this multicultural movement is that I think it's not just about flavors, but it starts there, but it's also just redefining what healthy looks like. And I think that there's been this kind of mold and a model that we've worked off of. A great example is the Mediterranean diet, which, trust me, I love it. And that's generally how I eat, but that is not the only healthy way to eat. And so heritage foods and different cultures that are, have brought unique flavors and styles of cooking and recipes to people for years and years, bringing that back and recognizing that can be healthy too. So it's all these celebrating this diverse range of flavors, but also celebrating the diversity of health and what that can really look like. So I think that's big, big shift for the CPG industry.
Exactly. And I think, you know, one of the most watched documentaries has been that Blue Zones documentary that came out. Of course, the book came out years ago. But you know that those cultures are all so very different in each of the Blue Zones. And so I think things like that open people's eyes to your point where it's healthy can come in a lot of different forms.
And shout out to Dan Buettner, who's going to be our Newtopia Now keynote. Have I told you that, Scott?
You did.
Okay.
Very, very good. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I am excited. And when I say it'll be my first Newtopia, it'll be everyone's first Newtopia. So I won't get shamed like I am for only having my second Expo West.
You know, after I said that to you, Scott, I wasn't shaming you by any means. I think this might only be my third Expo West. I mean, so compared to you, I'm kind of a veteran, but...
You're 50% more than me, Adrian.
I mean, I did go to 2020, so maybe it's my fourth. I made it all the way to Anaheim, yes.
I think if you got on the plane, it counts.
You went to the tiki bar at Disneyland, and then...
Yep, it was the place to be.
All right, this was great. You guys, we could talk for... this is so much fun. That was like the fastest... Hopefully as fast for people listening too, not just for us. Do we want any final thoughts? It could be a trend, a concept, or something that people should just look out for at West this week. And so excited to see everyone.
I will go first and then I will sign off on it. But I think keep an eye out. We talked about a lot of trends. And one of the things to keep in mind is not every brand that hits these trends are going to become like the next big thing. But most of the brands that do become the next big thing will fall into these trends. And so as we look at what's next, I always think about that as, you know, identifying what the next big trend is. And then also just to bring it back full circle, take advantage of all the content sessions that are going on and take advantage of all the networking, because this is really the best networking and, you know, terrific content as well. So make sure you're taking advantage of that if you're headed to the show. And if you're not, I believe a lot of them are on demand.
Live stream. Some of the keynotes live streamed, and then everything else will be on demand.
Yes.
On our YouTube channel.
Fantastic. And then Jessica and Adrian and the rest of the New Hope team, always a big thank you. It's a tremendous effort and we love partnering with you guys.
Aww, likewise, Scott. It's always fun.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And yeah, great, great call out, Scott. And I think the final thing that I'll say is a trend. These trends are important because they really represent shifts in consumers and how they're thinking about products, how they're purchasing. And there's some things that I believe the industry has to keep pushing on, even if consumers aren't quite there yet. I think regenerative agriculture and certified regenerative products is a great example of that. Even if it's a little slower to gain consumer awareness, B Corp is another one. Keep purchasing these products, pushing on suppliers, plastic-free, all of these things that, you know, some are further along that continuum of consumer awareness and demand than others. And some of these trends will really, I believe, be driven by industry pushing. So listen to your consumers always and be paying attention to those things that can truly affect change in the world, even if they're not quite there yet in the shopper's mind. That's mine.
I had nothing to add to that. It was perfect.
Well, this was fun, guys. Thank you.
Yes. See you guys at the Tiki Bar next week.
Yeah, this week.
This week.
Have you been at the Tiki Bar already?
Want to be on The Natural List? Send us an email at thenaturallist@newhope.com.